Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. Thunderstorms rolled through southwest Alaska and the interior overnight. National Weather Service meteorologist Alan Hickford says the storms brought abundant lightning.
Overall across the state, we had over 11,000 strikes. Most of the lightning strikes were mainly south of McGrath and east of Bethel. We also had quite a few lightning strikes from Fairbanks area east towards the Canadian border.
More thunderstorms with similar amounts of lightning are forecast for later today and tomorrow. The lightning has already reported to have started 13 new wildfires in southwest Alaska. Wildfire smoke has been fouling air in many areas of the state, with some of the worst conditions in the interior, including at North Pole.
They had one day where the monitor showed that it peaked around 700 micrograms per meter cubed, which is definitely in the hazardous health effects category.
Fairbanks North Star Borough Air Quality Manager Nick Zarnecki says the readings log that a state-operated air quality monitoring station are well in excess of wintertime peaks due to smoke from wood burning. Even more extreme readings have been recorded in recent days in North Pole at an air quality monitoring station operated in an outlying North Pole neighborhood by Citizens for Clean Air. Group member Jean Olson maintains the monitor outside her veterinary clinic.
The highest it's been since the smoke came in was on Sunday about noon. It was about 1,700 micrograms, which is higher than I ever knew my monitor could go.
Olson says more recent readings have primarily ranged between 300 and 500 micrograms per cubic meter, in line with some of the worst wintertime measurements she's recorded. Smoke is a known health hazard, and Trent Wickman, an air resource advisor working on the Fairbanks area Shovel Creek wildfire, told attendees of a public meeting this week certain people are more at risk.
The senior citizens, the young folks, folks with cardiovascular respiratory problems. If you're in that category, you know somebody in that category, you should particularly pay attention to this kind of stuff.
Wickman said breathing masks can help, but noted that not all models are as effective at filtering out fine particulates, adding that masks must also fit properly. The state's largest wildfire continues to burn in the Livengood area. The Hess Creek fire has burned at least 149,000 acres, and Information Officer Sarah Wheeler says the fire's large size dictates a point protection strategy.
Really focusing on cabins, recreational cabins, areas of importance, mining claims, and doing site assessments, cleaning out around those structures, setting up pumps and hoses, so if and when the fire does hit those structures could be defendable.
A travel advisory is in effect between Elliott Highway miles 62 and 73 due to flame, smoke, and firefighting vehicle traffic. Traffic along a two-mile stretch of the Toke Cutoff was delayed earlier this week by an emergency landing of a firefighter helicopter. State forestry and transportation officials say no one was injured when the helicopter set down in a highway pull-off near milepost 18. A forestry spokesperson says the helicopter suffered a mechanical problem and had to set down quickly, but that the aircraft was repaired and returned to service. Hot weather is elevating levels of Alaska's glacially fed rivers, including the Copper.
Pretty much about as high as we've seen it here in the last 10 or 15 years at least.
Alaska Department of Fish and Game biologist Mark Somerville says the high water has made dip netting at Chitnum more dangerous.
Boating is very hazardous on the Copper River at this point. Directly below the bridge where people tend to sweep, most of those islands are all underwater now, and it's extremely hazardous area.
Somerville says dip netters are not missing much as rapid current slows movement of fish and drives them deep underwater. He adds that fishing should improve when the river drops as the sockeye run is shaping up strong, with the in-river return now expected to top 900,000 fish. There could soon be enough state legislators in Juneau to override Governor Dunleavy's vetoes. Speaking during a press conference yesterday, University of Alaska President Jim Johnson said there's indication that some of the Republican lawmakers meeting in Wasilla plan to join fellow members assembled in Juneau.
For possible reconsideration of the overrides within the next couple of days.
A veto override vote yesterday in Juneau fell 7 votes short, and it's unclear how many of the Republican minority members in Wasilla could be headed to Juneau, much less how they'd vote on an override. President Johnson did not identify the legislators, but said he has solid information that they plan to go to the state capitol.
I am told by my on-the-ground staffer that they're planning to travel to Juneau. That's all I've got. I have not spoken with any of those legislators directly.
There's a lot at stake for the university, which is the target of a $130 million Dunleavy veto, a cut additional to a $5 million reduction already in the state budget, which together equal the loss of 40% of the university's state funding. With an override uncertain, Johnson says UA Regents have scheduled a meeting for Monday to consider declaration of financial exigency.
Financial exigency gives us the contractual ability to lay off tenured faculty and others in an expedited manner.
Barring any legislative action to restore UA funding, Johnson says Regents will consider specific reduction targets, including job cuts, at subsequent July meetings. Either way, Johnson emphasized that the university will be there for students when the new semester starts next month.
We will be operating this fall. To the extent we have to make some big cost reductions, those would be taken in non-academic areas immediately. We've already taken some of those steps. And then we'd be looking at the spring semester, because the last thing we want to do is interfere with our students' progress.
Unrelated to the veto override, Johnson added that he's confident state legislators will be taking action to release UA education grant and scholarship funds currently frozen in a state savings account. KUAC staff are university employees. No one has applied so far to fill an open Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly seat. The application period closes Monday the 15th at 5 p.m. As KUAC's Robin reports, the Assembly will select an applicant to fill the seat for 2.5 months.
Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly member Andrew Gray is stepping down to take a job at the University of Oregon. He is leaving the Assembly at the end of this month. He was elected in 2016 and his term in Seat C ends this October. There won't be an election till then, so the Assembly needs to fill the seat, even for only 2 months.
Currently have no applicants, so if anyone is interested in learning about more information, come down, ask questions. You can file right here at the counter.
That's Deputy Bureau Clerk Adina Ben. She says the application is like filing to run in an election, but applicants don't have to pay a filing fee.
So you come in, you fill out this application declaration, provide a copy of your POFD, Public Offices Financial Disclosure, and also a one-page statement of interest.
Then the Assembly reviews the applications, and each Assembly member can select 2 candidates to be interviewed. That interview process will be on July 31st at a work session at 5:30. Then the Assembly will immediately flip into a special meeting. That's when the public can weigh in on the decision by making comments about the applicants. The Assembly will appoint someone that same evening. The process to fill this vacancy was just used in May to appoint Jeff Wildridge to Seat E after Angela Major resigned a year before her term was up. For that vacancy, 13 people applied and 5 were interviewed. Ben says she expects to be hearing from some of those folks.
We did let them know that we had another vacancy coming up and, you know, encourage them to come and reapply.
The person selected this month for Seat C will serve only 2 months, which is the remainder of Andrew Gray's term. Then on October 1st, 3 regular Assembly seats will be up for 3-year terms, and Jeff Wildridge's seat, Seat E, will be open for a 1-year term. The deadline to apply for the vacant Assembly seat is July 15th at 5 p.m. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
And I'm Dan Bross.